Hello.
Hey, Mark, how are you, man?
I'm good, you?
Good, good. Thank you for being willing to come back on the show so quickly after last time we were together. So thank you.
Oh, no problem. I've just had a shower because I just finished practicing drums, so I have my kit stored in a actually it's Blitzkrieg's Blitzkrieg on it. And it's like a factory that Brian Ross works in. So yeah, I just kind of store my kit there. So I was teaching some lessons there, and then I just practiced. So I was a bit sweaty. So I was like, I need to have a shower before I do this.
Yeah, is that what you do? Are you a drum teacher? Is that one of the things you do?
Yes. Yeah.
Nice.
So I find it's one of the, because obviously, you know, with touring and stuff like that, it's quite hard to find a job where you know, if you work for the man, then you're kind of like stuck in this sort of kind of like, you know, you've only got a certain amount of holidays you can take, so there's only, you know, a certain kind of time you can take off and do tours and stuff like that. So for me, it was like, you know, just be a drum teacher. I mean, I teach in a couple of schools and they're really cool about me going on tour and stuff like that, you know. So it works out in that way. And
Nice.
I find, you know, I find with being a musician in general, you know, if you want to get somewhere, you've got to have, you know, a certain amount of sacrifice that you put into what goes on in your life outside of touring to be able to do it, you know.
Sure.
So
Nice.
yeah.
Is that a no class hoodie from like No Class in Cleveland?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's my
Excellent.
favorite hoodie, man. Like I wear it all of the time, you know.
Go
It's like,
Cleveland. There you go.
yeah, man. Yeah, I love it.
Excellent.
It's a
Fantastic. Good.
nice size, and it's very comfortable as well.
It's the best. That's great. That's good. Giving Cleveland a little love. That's fine, man.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, we're gonna have a good time. Chop Top is working, but we're gonna have a good time. And
Cool.
yeah, we're just gonna have a good time. So are you ready to get into it?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right, I'm gonna do my awesome intro, and then we'll
Cool.
hit it.
Sweet. Let's do it.
This is Jarvis Leatherby from the heavy metal band Night Demon. You're listening to Heavy Metal Horror.
I am Montag, Master of Illusion. What goes up must come down, but not always. And you are watching and listening to Heavy Metal Horror. Oh, kiddies, we've got Mark Jackson back. That's right, Mark Jackson from Venom Inc. Mark, thank you for coming back on to Heavy Metal Horror.
Always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
We had such a good time with Kern and talking about our favorite live albums. That was a great episode. And so now we're gonna get to know you a little bit more. And so we always like to kind of start with some background questions for our viewers and listeners who don't know you very well. When did you first get into music?
Oh, when then I guess in the music, you know, there's something that I've been thinking about recently, and it's like, you know, when it comes to inspirations musically, and you know, I'll say, you know, with even with drums, especially with, you know, how we discussed me being influenced by like jazz drummers who seem to play in metal bands, you know, that 100% came from my granddad. You know, whenever he used to drop me and my brothers off in school, he would always have jazz playing, and he would be tapping on the steering wheel and stuff like that. And he never played drums, but he was always tapping on the steering wheel. And you know, I think that was a big part of me finding out what music did to people in general, because it always kind of made my granddad happy. I think that was the very start of it. But when I actually really got into music, it was kind of like I didn't really know there was so many different styles of music. It was just kind of what was thrown, on the radio and on Top of the Pops and stuff like that, So I used to kind of like listen to pop music and like dance music and stuff like that, for the very kind of first kind of music that I listened to. And then when I was a teenager, I got into like watching WWF at the time, which is now WWE,
Yeah.
the World Wrestling Federation, as it used to be called. And that was kind of where the metal kind of aspect of my taste came from, was actually from the entrance music from these wrestlers. You
Okay.
had The Undertaker that had Limp Bizkit's Rolling. You had Stone Cold Steve Austin's with Disturbed's, I can't remember the name of the song, but it's the Glass Shattering song. And there was just so many like different wrestlers with this kind of music, And that kind of made me want to discover more. And at that time, that's when I discovered Kerrang! On Sky TV. And Scuzz was another channel as well, which kind of helped me discover new bands, And then, from then it was basically so my mother had a boyfriend years ago, and he unfortunately, because he wasn't a very nice person, I'll not get too much into that, but he actually showed me like Iron Maiden and Black Sabbath and Cream and all of these kind of old school rock bands, Led Zeppelin and Queen and all of that kind of stuff, and again, dare I say it, he was the guy who basically, I was in a shop in the UK called Costco, and that had this tiny electronic drum kit. It was like literally about that big. You could pick it up and just put it on a table, with little tiny pads. And my mum's boyfriend at the time, he said, "Go and play it." I was like, "Okay." So I had a go. He was like, "Wow, you're pretty good at that. Like, you should kind of take it up a bit, further." So that Christmas, I actually got that electronic drum kit, and then it kind of went from there to, where I am today, really. I think I mentioned it last time. The first time I discovered Black Sabbath, watching them live visually, was actually on a Metal Hammer VHS. Tape, and it was Warpig's Hand of Doom and Iron Man from Paris in 1970, and that just completely blew my mind. And that was watching Bill Ward, and I didn't understand how drummers could play like that, and I was instantly drawn to him. That's when I think that's when my music taste just kind of like exploded into, wow, there's so much music out there that I've not discovered. And yes, to discover, and I'm still discovering, a lot of bands now that, because I like to look for new bands, and I think it's a really important thing to do, whether they're kind of like the not well-known bands sort of thing, but I'm always trying to find something new to discover.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, that was a fantastic answer because you kind of answered a couple of the questions that I was going to ask anyway, about drums and about metal. So no, I'm just like, no, that's great. That's
Dude.
great. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Very efficient. Well, you had mentioned listening to other drummers, so that's one thing I want to talk about in this section, like we talk about heroes. So who are some of your favorite drummers? It can be metal, it could be other genres, just your
Yeah.
favorite genre.
For me, it's like I think every musical style and every drummer can be an inspiration. You know what I mean? Because you'll hear things that you will, even if you're not drawn to, like subconsciously, it will always be there. So you'll play something and you'll not realize that that's where you got it from. But you might not even know that you got it from there, And I mean, when it comes to actual drummers, like that are my favorite drummers, it's kind of changing all of the time, but I've always been drawn towards Bill Ward. He is my biggest influence, like hands down, absolutely incredible, drummer style, especially in those times. He was playing things that you would only hear jazz drummers playing, and there you go again, the jazz thing crops up. John Bonham, the thing is with John Bonham, and I hear a lot of people say this with John Bonham, when I first played drums, I wasn't particularly like I wouldn't say I wasn't bothered by him, but I wasn't drawn to him as much as other drummers. But as I get older, the more I appreciate how unbelievable he really was and how he was so in the pocket. Like everything that he played is like unchangeable. You cannot change anything he plays. It's just exactly what needs to be on the songs. He's a big influence, especially I don't know, I would say in the last like maybe 10 years or something like that, and he's a big influence in the sort of feel and the groove and the power, Cozy Powell a big one as well, and I think in one way that he's underrated for me is I don't think a lot of people realize, or maybe it's something I just think, that when you hear like machine drums, like nowadays, how you can kind of like quantize things and just make drums sound different from the way drummers actually play live, sort of thing. It really sounds like the way that Cozy Powell actually sounded. Like a lot of the fills he did back then, like the fast triplet things, that wasn't really a big thing back then. The way that he was playing, that whole power rock drumming was so different from what anyone else was playing back then. And now it seems to be more kind of in, of its time. Now a lot of drummers seem to do that more than they used to. And I think Cozy Powell doesn't get enough credit for that, in my opinion,
Well, he's so good, like in Rainbow, that intro for Stargazer is still killer. It's simple, but it sets the tone of the whole song, and then those great riffs come in, and it's like, Cozy Powell, Vinny, same thing with like Vinny Appice for when he played with Dia. Another pocket drummer whose fills weren't like they weren't exceptionally complicated or overthought, but they served the song. They fit well for what he's doing.
Exactly, And I always think with the old school drummers, they always have, a certain sound, and you can actually hear exactly what they sound like, so you know what to expect live. And I think that's the difference nowadays. There's quite a few drummers out there who play live, and it's like not as much power, or not the same sort of feel and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of non-musicians won't realize that, but it's fine. I mean, I'm not saying anything bad about that, but it is something that I prefer, actually, just seeing a drummer, how they sound on an album to how they play live. I like them to match, like, but yeah, I mean, with Cozy Powell, one thing I will mention is, you mentioned Stargazer not being that hard. It's actually harder than a lot of people think, because there's a video on YouTube where it's him at a drum clinic, and he explains how he plays it. And he does it. So he does it, the triplets, left-handed, not right-handed.
So he's beginning with his left.
Yeah. So you go, ba ba da 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 Triplets with the left.
Oh,
Not as
okay.
easy as doing with the right. Because I
Yeah.
can do like triplets all day long with the right.
Right.
Left.
Yes.
It's kind of there, kind of not. I'm
Yeah.
working on it though.
Yeah. Nicka
But
McBrain often said that he always began like drum fills with his left hand. And
yeah,
so
yeah.
it must be that choice for what stylistically that you're doing, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a world of difference when I hear, like you said, the old school drummers, like Nicko McBrain. Alex Van Halen, I think, is also an underrated drummer.
Oh yeah,
Phenomenal drummer.
unbelievable.
Yeah, just such a good drummer. And then when I look at more the drummers now who are doing the things with like the kind of blast beats and those really insane speed that they do, like George Koleos from Nile, it's just insane to watch him. I love watching his drum throughs and playthroughs because I'm just watching, he's just sitting there like a blur,
Yeah.
And the first time I heard Nile, I thought it was fake. I'm like, there's no way some guy could be like hitting a bass drum that fast. And
But
then
he
they come
does.
out
He
blistering. It's like,
absolutely does.
fuck, it's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of people do use triggers. And I don't have a problem with triggers. I think it's always a case of if it works with the music, by all means, do it. But like I say, I'm very old school, and I try to kind of stray away from that. I like
Yeah.
the actual natural sound of the kit.
Sure.
I mean, another drummer for me, this time a modern drummer, Martin Lopez, who is absolutely the most underrated drummer in the entire universe. Like, his feel is absolutely incredible. His playing technically, and just it's just something else to watch him play. And he is criminally underrated. Criminally underrated. What he did for Obeth will never be done again. Simple as that.
Nice.
And I love the guy they've got now. I don't know his name. I do apologize. But he's an incredible drummer. But for me, still to this day, it's Martin Lopez, And Gar Samuelson, the guy who played in Megadeth. He also had a band called Fatal Opera, and I thought his drumming in Megadeth was incredible, but listening to his drumming on the Fatal Opera albums, my God, he's another underrated drummer, and he was very much a jazz drummer according to Dave Mustaine, who just got asked to be in Megadeth, and man, his fills, again, he was one of those drummers that was doing these drum fills that no one would ever do. Like, he would do this thing where he would play like the snare drum, like that, 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 and you would, instead of going digga digga, like on the kicks, he would do like the kick drums in between. So he'd be like bam, 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 bam,
Oh, yeah.
and to the
Okay.
point where you're kind of fooled listening to it because you think it's double bass drumming, but it's not. Because then afterwards he will go into double bass drumming, and it just kind of increases the intensity of what he's playing, And I mean, Good Morning Black Friday, that song in particular, I mean, his drumming is incredible. Really is incredible. And that album itself is kind of like I guess it's like a fusion thrash speed metal album, with Chris Poland on it as well. He does quite a lot of fusion kind of music, where he has been for a while. He used to do it with Nick Menza. I mean, he's another great drummer, Nick
Yes,
Menza.
phenomenal. Those years I think were the best for Megadeth, the Holy Wars or the Rust in Peace years, those were just phenomenal. That was a great lineup.
It was definitely their strongest lineup, and
Yeah.
Nick Menza was definitely one of those drummers who played in the pocket, like his bass drum patterns, his beats that he played were just absolutely spot on for what the song
Yes.
needed.
Very
And they were
tight,
always,
very tight.
yeah. And it was never like what you would usually play. Sometimes it would be, but sometimes you would kind of he'd just be the only way I can describe like the way he played his kick drum was just so tight with the riff, and he never ever ever overplayed anything ever.
That's a temptation as a drummer. You know, it's easy to want to overfill, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. No, I totally get it. I totally get it. Well, we've talked a lot about these great drummers, and in your time with all these bands and now in Venom Inc., you know, you must have met some of the people who you found to be influences or musical heroes or idols, whatever you want to call it. So this is a two-part question. So, as far as who of your heroes that have you met, you know, what was that like? And then has that influenced how you respond to fans who come and want to meet you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, for me, I've never really liked the whole kind of, I guess, like rock star bullshit of, you know, we are the important ones. It's like the most important people in the music industry is the people who actually buy the albums and are fans of music as a whole, you know, who actually put the effort in to go to the shows, buy the albums, you know, and, it's something that shocks me when musicians don't appreciate that. You know, like I understand that being on the road is hard. Like it can be difficult. You can be really tired. And I think a lot of music fans don't understand that sometimes. That it's like, you know, it's a job. Of course it's a job, but we're only human. And the amount of traveling that you do and the lack of sleep and blah, 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 you know, trying to get to sleep and being thrown around on a bus because, you know, all of this traveling and stuff, you never stay still, really, you know, even when you have a day off, but the majority of the time that day off is just traveling to another city or state or whatever, you know. But, you know, the one person who I met was actually Martin Lopez, and it was my dream to watch him play at a show, just being in the crowd. But I actually had the honor to watch him at the side of the stage, and I actually spoke to him before, before the show, knowing that Soane were playing. That's his band that he's in now, who are incredible, and we talked for a long time. You know, he asked me, "What band are you playing in today?" And I was like, "I'm not playing in a band today." He's like, "Oh, are you in a band?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm in Venom Inc." And he laughed because he's a big fan of Venom, you know. And he was like, "Oh man, that's awesome! That's so cool!" He was like, "I love Venom." And I was like, "Yeah, like I was staying over at my mate's house, and they didn't really know like about you." And I went on Google and I searched Martin Lopez, and the first photo I found is Martin Lopez with a Venom t-shirt on,
Nice.
which was just like, that's got to be a sign of, you know, surely
Yeah.
I'm going to meet him, you know. And he was just so cool. He was just so nice, you know. And to prove how much of an influence he is, I've got these two tattoos here of the birdies.
Nice.
And if you have a look at Martin Lopez's tattoos, it's not exactly the same, but it's very similar. And when I met him, I told him, you know, that's how big of an influence you are and all that kind of stuff. And he was like, "Can I take a picture of your tattoo?" And I was like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Why?" And he was like, "Oh, because my wife came up with a design and she'd absolutely love it." And I was
Oh.
like, "This is so bizarre." But yeah, sure, why not?
That's
You
awesome.
know, yeah, and I mean, you know, watching him side of the stage, and like Tony hadn't really seen him play, didn't really know much about him, but even he was like, "Oh my God, like that guy's like got it," you know, and
Yeah.
he has, you know, he absolutely has. He's incredibly humble guy and so nice. And
Their music is so complex, and just pushes those boundaries, and like, you know, Deliverance, that end of Deliverance, you know, da, 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 da. I know we talked about this last episode, but it's every time I hear it, I'm like trying to play it along, you know, because it's such a memorable part, you know.
yeah.
It's just like listening to, you know, some of the best feels from Neil Peart, you know. It's just that kind of staccato. There's some things that I think they have that prog That influence has come from Rush and those other bands, King Crimson. You see that chain of wonderful power drummers who can also do finesse, and Martin Lopez and the early Opeth music. You just hear all those really wonderful, complicated rhythms, and it's tight. It's not sloppy. It doesn't get in the way because everything has to work harmless or seamlessly for it to be in harmony, and it does, you know.
Yeah, exactly, man. And it's still incredible to me that his my favorite drumming of his, my favorite when it comes to recorded drums on an album is actually Ghost Reveries. And he was not going through a good time then. That was kind of when the departure happened from Opeth because of his mental health. Which, it's kind of upsetting to watch, but you could kind of see it when he's actually recording the Ghost Reveries album, that on the Watershed, sorry, on the Ghost Reveries DVD, or was it the Watershed? I can't remember. It's either the Watershed DVD where it's got footage of recording Ghost Reveries where they discuss what Martin Lopez was going through, and then obviously they got Axe. But his drumming on Ghost Reveries is beautiful. It is just absolutely stunning.
Oh yeah.
Really, really is. And gotta hand it to him for, going through such a hard time then and to where he's at now, but also recording a performance like that on Ghost Reveries is mind blowing.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. That's when I first saw Opeth on that tour. And it's just that it was they always put on a good show. But I was just watching him because that's the only time sometimes you have to watch the drummer because that's the only time you're going to get to see them play at the fill or like, how do you play this? You got to watch, you know? And
Yeah,
so it's
absolutely.
always nice, like, oh, that's what they do. And even
Yeah.
then, I have to, like, you know, especially if I see like a recording of it, like, I want to watch it a few times, you know? And like,
Yeah, man,
okay,
absolutely. And
yeah.
I think that's a huge influential thing, is, you hear from musicians all of the time, oh, I want to go and see this band live.
Mark?
Wanted to become a
Oh, there
musician.
you are.
And when you
Sorry.
actually go and see a band live,
I was just saying your audio had cut out momentarily.
Okay.
You're good now.
So when you actually go and see a band live, that is hugely influential because you not only learn about the way these guys play, you're talking about performance-wise, you're talking about the actual show as a whole, the structure maybe of the show, the non-structure, the spontaneity, my God, I can't speak.
Spontaneity.
The that's the one. Yeah, just like the whole show that you learn from, really, and you, like I say, you hear it all the time. Lars Ulrich, when he saw in Pace Play with Deep Purple, that's when he wanted to play drums. You hear it all the time. I mean, Tony, he saw Motorhead and that's when he wanted to become a musician. And it is the most influential thing to me. I've always been a huge fan of live albums. Always have. As I think, well, it's not that I think. I know that that's what you're actually going to hear, and that's how a band actually sounds because you can't really, sometimes you can't cheat as the a lot of a lot of the kind of technology can do now, so it's yeah. Whenever I go and see a band, and I'll watch them, and I'll I'm watching the drummer, of course, but I'm watching the whole show because I like to learn, not just things musically, but performance-wise and all that kind of stuff as well,
Sure. Nice. Well, let's talk a little bit about touring then to change gears. do you prefer smaller intimate venues or larger arenas? From a fan's point of view, being close to a band is fantastic and like you're wearing the No Clash shirt. But what's it like from your point of view?
Oh, it's such a tricky question, because I think when you're not on a bigger stage, you can actually feel the energy and the vibe from the crowd, which sometimes, well, you know, if it's great, it's amazing. You know, it's like a complete sweat box. That's the part I love about the intimacy that you get from playing smaller venues. When you play in larger venues, it's kind of, I feel like you have to get into the zone more because you can get too comfortable where you kind of forget that you're playing in front of a crowd because you're kind of that far away, especially being a drummer. You know what I mean? So it's because you can't feed off the energy as such, not in the same way. But I do prefer playing bigger stages because it's just something that I've always kind of wanted
That's the
to
dream, right?
do.
I mean, you want to be a rock star.
Exactly.
You imagine playing in stadiums, you know, giant venues, you know, 10, 20, 30,000 people, you know, that's the
Exactly.
dream, right?
Exactly. You know, and you know the festival run was really cool because, you know, it wasn't my choice. It was actually our sound guy's choice, where we had four bass drums on the drum kit,
I saw
which
that. I
looks
thought
awesome.
that's fantastic. I mean, it's like so
It
metal, you know. It's just like, oh, come on. This is, I mean, it's visually so over the top. It's like Spinal Tap.
yeah, and it keeps it old school. That's the thing, you know. It keeps it old school, and I think that's the key to Venom Inc. is we are old school with kind of like a modern edge. That's what Venom Inc. is compared to Venom, which Venom was old school, you know. I mean, it's evident, you know, if you listen to the album Ave or There's Only Black, you know, it's evident that it's old school with a modern edge, you know. And I think that's one thing Tony mentions about me as a drummer and what he's always liked about my style is that I'm an old school drummer with kind of like a modern sort of head, as he says. You know, that I'm influenced by some modern drummers, more old school drummers, and it's kind of like a combination of the two, you know. So he really likes that about my playing anyway, you know.
Nice. What is your favorite food to eat on the road?
God. That is probably the hardest question I've ever been asked.
We're just getting
Because
started.
I'm kind of known in the band as the Hoover. Like even when I was in Empire of Evil, Mantis and the Demolition Man always called me the Hoover because if there was any leftovers, they would just pass it to me and I would just demolish it. And still to this day, I still don't understand why I'm not really fat. I mean, I'm quite tall, so like maybe that has something to do with it. But I really should be fat, but I'm not. But you know, never mind.
Well, you burn off a
Yeah,
lot of
it was
calories
just.
playing. I mean, of all
Well,
the
that's
musicians,
true. Yeah.
the drummers, they tend to burn off calories. But
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But there are some
genetics.
drummers out there, you know, who are rather big. So you know, I don't know what it is, but whatever. I sound like I'm disappointed, don't
No.
I?
It's hey, everyone's got their answer. I mean, like when like Mark Bridey from Jagpanzer came on the first time we asked him that, and we found out that his favorite food is pizza. So like he knows what the tour is going to be, where he's going to go, and he kind of looks ahead to what are the best pizza places in that area so that he always has some pizza to look forward to. You know, so hey, everyone's got their own answers, and we just like to hear, like what
It's
makes
kind
everybody
of a
tick.
difficult one. Yeah, it's kind of a difficult one for me, you know, because, you know, when you're on tour, like, it's very easy to just eat junk food, which I don't mind. I mean, I like junk food, but there's quite a lot of the time where I'll go, you know what it is? I actually really want to have a salad and like I like to eat healthy, especially if I'm on the road. But then again, if we're at a restaurant, I'll go all out and just have whatever, you know, is kind of on the menu, you know.
Nice.
So I love pizzas, and I love Chinese food as well, you know. So I guess those are my go-to. But if it's not junk food, it's salad, healthy shit, you
All
know.
right, yeah, good. What song do you most enjoy playing live?
Oh, everyone. I really enjoy playing There's Only Black. I think it's, as a song, is a very strong song, to the point where we decided to open part of the tour with that song,
Yeah, I think
like
that's
on
what
the
you opened
second
with
part
one
of the tour.
Cleveland, I think. Yeah.
I just think it's, I mean, the story behind it is incredible as well. You know, obviously it's about Mantis and when he died, and came back. You know, he said in interviews before that he didn't see any heaven or hell. He just saw black, like a black hole,
Yeah.
hence the title There's Only Black. You know, and I think it's such a powerful thing that, you know, it's like, okay, so is that true, or does everyone just have some sort of different visualization when it comes to, you know, a near-death situation? Or is it completely different if you're completely dead? Who knows? You know, everyone's kind of got their own kind of viewing on that and thoughts on that. And I just think it's a really cool kind of, like, it's like a subliminal message. You know what I mean? Is what he's saying true, or is it kind of like, you know? But yeah, I think that song is just a lot of fun to play. I think Kling's drumming on it's really, really cool. And I think vocally as well, I think, you know, the Demolition Man's vocals, the actual, what word am I looking for? So the actual, like, approach to, you know, what he was actually singing vocally was amazing. I just think he sounds incredible on, you know, on that album. And he just seems to progress every single time, you know, from Ave to this, you know. And even, you know, in the Empire of Evil days, from going from, you know, the Hell of the Holy album to Ave to, you know, it just seemed, his vocals just seemed to get better and better. But when it comes to playing another song live, I've got to say, I really enjoy playing two Venom songs, Black Metal, obviously, because it, I mean, the crowd just absolutely go crazy for it. And Sons of Satan, Sons of Satan, because for me, it's kind of like playing a Motorhead song, you know? And I kind of like add my own kind of fills in here and there, which is kind of what I do with most of the Venom songs anyway, you know. So
I was
yeah.
looking at a black man or I've got long COVID. I am struggling to remember. Witching Hour. Sorry.
Yeah.
Witching Hour, I feel that you definitely got that kind of speed, that thrash Motorhead feel to it, you know, which I just, it's
Absolutely.
so
That's
inner. So,
another.
yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great song to play as well, you know, and guarantee that the crowd love that one. I mean, it's a great song overall, anyway, you know. Again, especially for the time it was out. So I used to actually play it a little bit different when I was in Empire of Evil. I used to do double kicks all the way through, which was kind of like influenced by someone who's kind of became a friend of mine, Chris Kontos, who was the drummer in Machine Head on the Burn My Eyes album. And he actually got up and played Witching Hour with Venom Inc. during the US tour. I'm trying to think what dates he did it. I can't remember whereabouts it was. But yeah, that's the way he plays it. You know, he does double kick all the way through, and there's actually footage on YouTube of that where it's Tom Araya, Chris Kontos, Rob Flynn, possibly Kerry King, maybe? I don't know. There's someone else there. But yes, that's the way he plays it. He just does double kicks all the way through, you know? And when he got up and played, that's how he did it. But during this tour, I actually changed it to not doing the double kicks all the way through, because I kind of thought, you know, I wanted to do it kind of my way, sort of thing, you know? But like the way Chris plays it is, again, it's very Motörhead, very kind of like Motörhead overkill sort of kind of style, you know. So it works,
That's
and
great.
it's great to see him play the song, you know, just in, right there in front of my eyes, you know.
Nice.
He certainly burnt my eyes. Hey. Sorry, Alex.
What do you like to do on your days off? I know with the tour you get some days off. I know some days you're just traveling, but are there certain things that when you have some downtime that you really like to do just for you?
I like to have a wander around each city and see what if I'm not too tired. I mean, the US tour was quite a hard one. You know, it was kind of tricky because, like I say, I mean, we didn't have that many days off. But when we did, we actually, you know, did have a look around. And you know, the great thing about the US is every state is completely different from the other. So you've always got something new to discover in each state. But yeah, that's what I like to do. You know, I like to go out and kind of venture and see what's around and kind of discover the culture of the place I'm at. You know, I think that's a fascinating thing, and I think it's, to me, it's kind of like a necessity to, well, to learn more about the world, you know, because each country is completely different from the other, and they have, you know, different rules, different laws. You know, when it comes to poverty as well, that completely varies. And there's just so much in the world, you know, to discover. And I think, you know, if you just kind of allow yourself to go out and see what's what, and even, you know, I'm kind of like a people watcher. I like to just kind of watch life kind of do its thing, you know, and I just find it absolutely fascinating, especially having, you know, these opportunities to play in different countries and actually kind of see it all, you know, even like the way people talk to each other or treat each other, you know, it's all completely different, and it's just so fascinating. So that's what I like to do. See, you know, any sort of views I can see, you know, whether it's like going up in the mountains or just anything, you know, with history as well, you know. I'm really fascinated with with history in general, you know. So yeah, that's what I like to do. I just like to kind of discover as much as I can, depending on where I am, you know.
Nice. And the last question in this group, what's in your rider? Some of the quirky requests that you like to put in your rider, special food, drinks, clothing, or maybe a couple dozen white roses like Mariah Carey.
Well, a bottle of Jack Daniels is one. towels, obviously. I mean, God, you know, I think I would have any sort of musician on stage, it's got to be the drummer who gets, you know, gets the sweatiest, especially with having those lights on you whilst you're playing. You know, that's, oh my God, like the temperature. Man, I remember playing in the Empire Evil days again. It was called Night Fest, and it was part of, I don't know if you've heard of Night of the Vinyl Dead. So they do absolutely incredible vinyl packages. Like, oh my God, like they have like pop-up vinyl, you know, cases and stuff like that, and it's just absolutely incredible what they do. And we were playing a show as part of like the Night of the Vinyl Dead thing, as Empire of Evil was, we're on a compilation of the bands who were on the Night of the Vinyl Dead roster, if you like. And that was the hottest show I have ever played in my life. The last song we played was Witching Hour, and I literally just powered through it, thinking I was going to collapse. I mean, it was ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. I have never ever thought I was going to collapse like that playing drums,
No one had like
you
a
know.
fan or anything?
No.
Okay. Yeah. That might be
No,
something to add to the
no.
rider, you know, or bring with
It
you on
is on
this
the
next
rider.
tour. Oh, the
No,
fan?
it is on the rider, and you know, not always do you get a fan. And that's, you know, it's going to be a tough gig, especially with the energy that we have to put into the shows, you know, because we go all out, you know.
Oh yeah, I mean the show was so good. I was expecting like an hour. You guys played an hour and a half, and it was just like energy, just
Yes.
pure fucking energy from top to bottom. It was a great show.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way we like to do, you know, just kind of power through it, not rush to end it. You know, we obviously put on a show, and we try to make it the best it can possibly be for the people who have made the effort to come to the show, you know. Another thing on the rider, I mean, I'm not very picky, really, you know, but so the drum kit is an obvious one, you know, like I like big drum kits. I've never asked before bass drum, but that sometimes seems to you know, get put on the rider on the sly from others. And I think there's actually going to be four bass drums on the European tour
Oh,
coming
nice, nice. I didn't think you'd have enough room for it when I saw you at Cleveland. I'm like, oh, no, Mark's not going to bring us.
no.
There wasn't enough room for even some of the your bannering, you know, your badging.
Yeah,
So
I
I'm like,
mean,
yeah.
you know, part of the tour, like I came up with the decision to actually share the drum kit that we were using, which was Curran's drum kit, with the band Salem's Child, because the majority of the gigs, you know, there wasn't enough room to fit two kits on, especially with the size of the kit I was using, and especially with Scott, the drummer from Salem's Child, he had like a small drum kit. My God, the back was ridiculous. It was such a small drum kit. But, you know, that's what he's comfortable with, so fair enough, you know. But yeah, I mean, I'm not really that fussy about riders, you know. Like, I just like to. My focus is always on playing, you know. That's always my focus. So drum kits, drum stool, obviously the stands, the pedals. I love Speed Cobras. I think Tama Speed Cobras are the best pedals going. So Speed Cobras are my go-to. Sabian cymbals, Vic Firth sticks. I love Vic Firth sticks. I love Promark drum sticks as well, but Vic Firth are kind of my go-to now. Evans drum skins or Remo, but Evans drum skins are kind of the more go-to for me nowadays.
You've got your own stick line, right? I guess a signature stick, right?
We're discussing it. We're discussing it. It's
Okay.
kind of like a trial.
Okay.
So, like, for me, I mean, I'm so, you know, thankful to the people of Collision to give me these sticks and you know, put the time and effort to actually put the logo on and have my signature on the sticks, which is really, really cool. I think for me, the most important thing for any musician is you've got to be comfortable on stage. That's the most important thing. You don't want to think, you don't want to worry, you want to feel, you want to play. That's
Right.
the key to playing to the best of your ability, you know, to getting
Yes.
away from the adrenaline is being comfortable and just kind of playing and feeling, you know, playing for yourself, but also playing a show for the fans. But, you know, the most important thing is being comfortable. But yeah, I mean, and they did do the sticks, and I'm super chuffed with them. I'm yet to try them fully. I'm still kind of in two minds, but I'm very picky, and I think every musician should be, really,
Yeah,
you know.
right. No, I agree 100%. I mean, when I played in some, you know, college bands, and we would go out and play shows, and sometimes they wouldn't have a like a carpet or a mat for the drum set, you know, and you would be set up on like card tables, literally card tables, and I'm like, we had to put like a cinder block in front of them. Like, that's just not going to hold it, you know. And it was just so frustrating because I am so conscious now about the bass drum creeping every time I'm kicking
Yeah.
it. You know, and like I got two bass drums, and like they're creeping. I'm like, well, I can't fucking play this, you know. No,
Yeah,
I
it's the
totally get
worst.
that.
That is
no.
the worst, man, honestly.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
I
just
mean
like.
when the kicks move, if the thing is, if the kicks move and the rest of the kit isn't on, so like your rack songs, if they aren't on a rack, you're doomed. Because it's not just the kicks that are gonna move,
Yeah.
it's the toms as well that are gonna push the cymbals over, and you name it, you know, there's a lot of risk to that. Yeah, that's the worst.
Oh yeah.
I've had that a couple of times years ago. Not nice. Yeah.
All right, we're gonna switch gears here. We're gonna move into some hypothetical situations here. Okay, the first one. You're on a desert island. What five bands' discographies do you want with you?
Okay. God. Obeth. Do I have to name a particular album, or we just
No,
go
just
five?
you get all the band's music, just five different bands that are going to keep you sane
Oh,
while you're on this island. So
okay.
Opeth would be one.
Cool. Yep, Opeth, Metallica, Black Sabbath, Cream, because I think that'll be nice and kind of chill. Now it's going to get hot. So hold on, that's four, isn't
That's
it?
four, yeah.
Oh God! Right, okay. No, I'm stuck. Think. See, this is when I'm getting in all of the band's territory. I always think Queensryche put us in a good mood, so I'll go with Queensryche.
Okay, excellent, excellent. This is a brand new question. You've just won the lottery. What's the first thing you're going to buy?
God. Oh. That is, you know, money to me is not something that I'm like majorly focused on. I mean, it would be really lovely if I did win the lottery, as I'm sure a lot of people would love that. God, you know what it is? I don't think I would particularly buy anything for myself. I think I would buy things my family need. I mean, my mum's already just came out of retirement, so I can't really help her out with that. You know, so she's already got that. But yeah, anything that kind of helps out the family, I would absolutely do. And yeah, just I think anything like charity or families, I think family would definitely come first, even before me. But I would make sure that, yeah, everyone else was kind of better off. I mean, I would quite happily, you know, just live in a kind of normal house, you know, or mansion. I'm not really particularly bothered, but I guess it would be nice. I think I would probably get lost, to be honest, in the first couple of days.
Right.
But yeah, I kind of like the balance between kind of going out on tour and coming back to Earth, if you like, you know, having kind of the realization about what life actually is when you get off the tour.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of a really nice thing, you know. So yeah, if that kind of answers your question,
Yeah.
I don't know why I would. I mean, would I get an awesome drum kit? Like yeah, I mean, absolutely. I would get a Tama drum kit. Like, I love Tama. Tama's always been my favorite drum kit. Yeah, I would just get a beast of a drum kit. I might go all out and just get, like, you know, the. My God, I forgot his name. What's he called, man? The drummer who.
Terry Bozzio?
Yes,
Yeah.
thank you. God,
That's what I was
sorry,
thinking. Like,
Terry.
okay, he's got this mammoth drum kit with like 60 different types of percussion things to hit, you know?
Yeah, I would get something like that, you know.
Yes.
Do
Right.
anything would be fun for, like, yeah.
It would
But,
just be a
like,
bitch
I
to
actually.
try to set up every night. There's no way in hell you're going to be able to, like, you'd take
No,
6 hours to
no.
set that kit up.
Exactly, man. And I actually stood behind that drum kit as well, and I noticed he's got every single tom tuned like a piano. So he's got like the flat and the sharps and you
Yeah.
name it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely incredible to stand behind that. And he literally plays everything.
Right. It's, yes,
Without a
watching
drum
him.
clinic,
Yeah, it's a whole different kind of experience. It's not just he's not there keeping a beat. It is something. It is rhythm. It is melody. It is all kinds of things. And it's there's no one like him as a percussionist. And it's a lot more than I would ever want as far as busyness for me. I had a 9-piece kit, at double bass, the 9-piece kit, and that was fine for me. It was plenty big for what I needed to play, but but yeah, that's great. Okay, question number two. Okay, an alien shows up and asks you to represent metal in three songs. What would those songs be, and why?
Okay. Blackened by Metallica on I'm Justice for All, because I think it's just one of those songs that I don't think anyone would ever be able to write, or I don't even know what was going through Metallica's sort of head at that point. I know a lot of it would have been Cliff Burton. And I know that Jason Newsted actually came up with the main riff.
That's probably why Lars pushed him out of the mix. He didn't want that
Lars and
competition.
James. Don't just blame Lars, it was Lars and James, but yes,
Yeah, it's too bad. I'd love to hear that remixed with the bass track put in it.
Yeah,
I've heard
you
people
can.
supposedly play what he played. Mike, I don't know. I want to hear what he had to play.
There's if you go on YouTube, just search I'm Jason for All, and there's actually mixes where it's you actually hear the bass more. And for me, it kind of I'm sorry, Jason. I love Jason as a bass player. I don't really know him, but he's a big part of what Metallica was. But for me, with "And Justice for All," it's like that was the first album that I listened to that completely blew my mind. Which is another reason why I would choose one of the songs from the "And Justice for All" album. And I still don't think there's any album out there like "And Justice for All." I just think it's so unique, so weird and extraordinary in the kind of songwriting kind of aspect
A level of
of that album
complexity
as a
that they
whole.
hadn't had before. That was the Metallica's, I
Yeah,
think,
exactly.
finest, most complex work, to the time. It took them a while to recover. They went over simple for a while. To me, it's kind of like listening to Seventh Son of Seventh Son. There's a majestic quality to that album that was different for me, and it kind of hit like a pinnacle for them, just like Injustice for All. I love that album. It's a phenomenal album.
I mean, technically, it's outstanding. They were doing things that they've never done before. They're really pushing. And I have seen, because I'm a Metallica nerd, I have seen an interview with Lars where he outright says, we were trying to prove that we were better musicians and not just these kind of like four dorks playing in a band sort of thing. But yeah, that would be one. How many am I choosing?
Three.
Two, did you
We
say?
got three. You got two
Three.
left.
Okay. Another one for me would be Opeth. Song-wise, God. Harlequin Forest.
Great song.
Because I think it has that perfect balance of heavy groove and this beautiful darkness, gothic sort of vibe about it melodically. So that would be my other one. And I think Opeth, again, like, unbelievable that there's a band like that who can be so original and you can identify them so easily just by their sound and their songs. There's no one like Opeth, and never has been. And of course, they are one of those bands who were massively influenced by the prog bands in the 70s and all that kind of stuff, and they basically took all of these bands and molded it together and been, in the early days of Opeth, which were like they were kind of known as a progressive death metal band. I always thought they were more than just having that sort of title, because the prog side's always been evident, more evident to me with them. And I think they're kind of more like the more modern sort of Camel meets Rainbow It's, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, all these different progressive bands. But yeah, that song in particular, I think, would be a really nice kind of touch to this is what we've got on planet Earth.
Yeah, nice.
God, oh, it's the last one that's always the hardest, isn't it? This is really difficult because now it hasn't really taken as much time to think about the other two because I kind of that was just kind of what sprung to mind straight away, but now I'm struggling. Did he say it has to be metal?
It could be any song.
Okay.
Well, yeah, represent metal in three songs. But if you have something else, that's fine too. Would love to hear just what you have to say.
Mad World.
Okay. All right.
Because I think it kind of introduces an understanding of humans in general, that everything isn't just happy and wonderful and colorful. I think that would be, now I'm getting really deep into this now. So I think it would be a nice introduction in the way of, assuming that everything isn't just amazing and happy and wonderful on in their planet, that they could have that mutual understanding of, there's good and bad people in the world. We're not all the same,
Nice.
we all have the same colored blood, not all have the same colored skin. That keeps us all the same. But when it comes to a personality, it varies and there's good and there's bad people. And also, I think it would be an understanding of how what would affect that is obviously an up, it could be an upbringing or a trauma or something that's going on in people's lives and hence the world, the song Mad World. I think that song just kind of is like the perfect title to what I think would be happening in any planet where anything or anyone existed.
Nice. Okay, in the last hypothetical situation, if you could be any superhero for 24 hours, who would you be and what would you do with your day of power?
Oh, man. Do I have to be like a superhero that exists?
Well, if you want to make up one, that's fine.
Okay, so my superhero power would be because I think mental health is a huge thing that I think even people who work with in mental health professionally will never 100% get an understanding unless you are that person who is suffering in that in their own mind. I mean, I am a person who has anxiety. I do also have medication that I take for my anxiety and depression. I've got a lot better than I was. I did go through a really dark phase not so long ago, like I was talking, just over a couple of years ago now. So I guess I know my superhero power would be for people not to feel that emotionally, and not have to go through that. If my superhero power was anything, it would be to cure mental health. Because I think that is something that a lot of people don't understand. Especially when it comes to actual people, like a lot of, the thing is with anxiety can hide someone's true personality because, and I'm not saying I'm like this, I have been in the past, but you can do things that you wouldn't usually do because of your anxiety, because of maybe an insecurity or something like that. You feel anxious about something that you'll say something that you don't want to say, you'll do something that you don't want to do. And I think mental health in general is a very serious thing that is sometimes overlooked and not realized by a lot of people. And I think one of the movies that I was particularly blown away by was Joker, because I
Yes.
think Joaquin Phoenix, and was the director's name Todd? Was it Todd?
I don't remember the name of the director, but I
Okay.
really like the movie. It's so dark and depressing and bleak, and but you really see one person just crumbling and just get
Yeah,
beat
and
down
it's
and beat
all
down.
because, yeah, and it's all because of what I'm talking about, which is, a lot of people judge so quickly and don't actually have that sort of thought of what is that person actually going through to make them be like that? Can I actually do anything or like have an understanding with my approach to that person? You know what I mean?
Right. We call it
And I
the
think
sin of
that
empathy in America. Right. When the MAGA movement, where it's like telling people, not to be, the sin of empathy. I'm like, no, I totally get it. And there's still a lot of stigma attached to mental health issues as well. And that's something that, as we're having this discussion, because I suffer with depression as well, and I've had anxiety, so I understand. And those dark days, it's a victory if you can, like, take a shower, so I completely get it. But it's working through and talking about it and being open about those things, hopefully sends a message to other people to not. And I think this generation coming up, Gen Z and Y, they're much more open about who they are, exploring their identity or their fluidity, and they're much more accepting of one another. So I think the hope lies in the younger generations. Not to be an old man, get off my lawn, but for people in my generation, we're raised by people who said, don't express your emotions if you're a man. There's no such thing as depression, those kinds of things.
Man
So
up, man up. Yeah, I
yeah.
hate
So
that. I hate that,
right. So I
And I
that's an
think,
awesome superpower. That's great.
I mean, like I was going to say with the Joker movie, it's the genius behind that movie, and this is related to mental health, is that there's a great scene where the Joker is sitting on the bus and he starts laughing. And that's part of, what he has this, I can't remember what it's called, but you laugh to the point where you can't control it, and you in pain, you cannot control your laughter. And he even has a card to show that this is what I have. This is my disability. And he shows it to the woman, and the woman just turns around in disgust. And, the genius behind that movie is, even though the Joker's done terrible things, you feel sorry for him because you know that he's right in what he says. That, right at the end when he's doing that TV show and he shoots the presenter, I'm not saying that's right, that's completely wrong. But what he's saying about the way that people judge far too easily, and, it's just such a it's such a sad thing, and I don't mean to be all negative and stuff, but I just think, mental health is such a serious thing that no one will ever have the understanding of unless you are in that person's mind. The only thing that person can do is get the help that they deserve, and hopefully that person who they are getting help from can have some understanding of what they're going through and help get them through it. And it's quite a hard thing to find. And it's kind of a hard thing to explain your own sort of mental health, because everyone's mind's completely different from the others.
Right.
We're
And your
all different.
depression would be different than mine. It's a diagnosis, but it's not a cookie cutter, And
Exactly.
every day is
Exactly.
different. Some days are better than others, and I still have that kind of cycle where there are days where I know I'm struggling. It's not to the point where I want to hurt myself or anything like that. But there are days where that numbness comes in and the detachment comes in, and you just know you feel off and just kind of no, yeah, I guess cocooned. To everything.
I just yeah, so that would be my superhero power,
Nice.
100%.
Nice. Great. Great. Okay, we're going to change gears. These are one-offs. These could be questions about anything. What would you tell your childhood self about being a musician?
God, my God, that is a tough question.
We've got some fun ones coming up, so don't worry.
Okay, so for me, it would be never play anything without purpose. I think without meaning, art is pointless and a failure. If you do not play what you play, or whether it's hearing, always do it with meaning and understanding to progress.
Nice. That's
Always learn, always learn. Listen and learn,
yeah. Well, that's good. Okay, who are or maybe who is your favorite writer or maybe some of your favorite books?
Oh. Okay, so I don't. Okay, so this is when it comes back to the mental health thing. Reading for me is very difficult. I can read, but I think a lot, like a lot, a lot. So I'll read something, and unless I am like absolutely like drawing, like drawn into this book, I will just think of something and then like not necessarily forget what I've read, but I can't delve into the book as a lot of people say they can, and I'm kind of jealous in that sort of way. But Mick Wall is it Mick Wall is a great writer. Like he did the Black Sabbath one, and he did which was called Symptom of the Universe, which is crazy because that is my the one song, well, yeah, the main song when it came through a recorded album, Black Sabbath. That song was the one that got me to play drums. That I wanted to
Yeah.
play drums there and then.
All those
That was
riffs.
my.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
Tommy
So.
Aldridge's version of that on the Speak of the Devil album, I think is fantastic. I love that album. It's
Yeah.
that's phenomenal. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'll always go to, back to the thing with Bill Ward. Like, no one will ever be able to play that song like he did, ever.
Right.
It just his fills are absolutely incredible, but I'm always a fan of like when people do something different, like Tommy Aldridge, and keeping it to their style. What was the question? Oh yeah, the book. Yeah,
Yeah.
so End the Night was a great Mick Wall book as well, and I think he, I think he's one of the writers that I can actually like really get into a book as much as I can
Yeah.
without kind of
Yeah.
thinking too much.
Do
So
you do
yeah.
books on tape help? Do you ever listen to those?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, audiobooks, yeah. I'm a big fan of Alien movies,
Yeah.
so there's some really good audio books with Alien. Out from the Shadows is a good one. There's quite a few of audio books that I would listen to, like podcasts. Podcasts are great for stuff like that. I think that's something that needs to be looked into as well when it comes to people with anxiety, because I think that's a very common thing, as I've heard before, where it's like, they kind of struggle to read things unless
Yeah.
they're really, really into it. And I think podcasts and audiobooks are really good for that, because kind of it's weird, it stops you from actually thinking as much as you do when you're just kind of
Right.
reading words.
No, I get it. I see. I like the there's a couple lines when I hear like from the BBC or they do like a radio drama or a reenactment or it's a company called Graphic Audio and they take big comic books like Crisis on Infinite Earths or Civil War and they will do like a 6 hour version of that and it's with voice actors and sound effects and a narrator. It's like going to a movie. You're like listening to a movie, you know? See, I could listen to those, but I can't listen to someone read to me. I could read, but listening to
Yeah.
someone just talking, I'm gonna just zone right
Yeah,
out,
yeah,
you know?
yeah.
So no, I get it. That's
That's what I
great.
love about the Alien audio book that I was listening to, because it's basically, it's actors, actually in the audio. It's not just someone reading a book,
Good. That's awesome. I'll have to
so it's
check into that
kind of
because,
like a movie. Yeah, I'll send you a link in a
yeah,
minute.
that'd be awesome. Thank you. Yeah, I love the Alien franchise. Yeah, that's really good. Okay, let's do with which non-music celebrity would you most like to have a drink with?
Joaquin Phoenix. I mean,
Nice.
I think he's the most underrated actor in the entire universe. I would put him, in the same sort of level as Jack Nicholson. I think he's just absolutely incredible, and he seems to be very creative. He's an absolute, he just seems fascinating to me, I think he's one of these actors that really treats what he does as art. I think he has that very artistic sort of character about him. And he's very kind of weird, and I'm kind of very intrigued
Yeah, I've never seen
to
a bad
know.
performance. I mean,
No.
I loved him in Her, in Gladiator, the Joker movies. I like both Joker movies. I like Folia too. I really like that.
I think the problem for me with that movie is that the audio was so bad for the first couple of songs, even to the point where it was like Lady Gaga's voice was put in tune. It's like, you're talking about Lady Gaga here. I
Yeah,
mean, she could sing.
she can sing.
She does not need that. And it was
No.
so obvious. Maybe not to people who understand that kind of part of what goes on in the studio, but that was off-putting. But the movie itself, I thought was pretty cool. I didn't really have a problem with
When
it.
you
I kind
realize
of
what's
like the
going
end
on,
of the
like
song.
why there's a musical, like, oh, I get it. I get it. Because everyone was like slamming, it's a musical. I'm like, what the hell, a musical? And like, once I see why they're doing music, I'm like, oh my God, it's like genius. It's just genius. Yeah,
So
I loved it.
there's a Joaquin Phoenix movie where he actually
He's the rapper, he's the art, the musician.
yeah,
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what it's called.
I don't
What was it
remember what it was,
called?
but he spent like a year and a half or 2 years like doing it. And not telling anyone that he was shooting this mockumentary. And like people were like
It's called I'm Still Here.
okay, because people were very uncomfortable seeing him do interviews because they just don't know how to like get him to talk, and he's just so bizarre in that character that he was doing. But yeah, it's like Andy Kaufman, like in the 70s, when he just embodied that character to the extent where it didn't matter what people thought. He was going to live that art. And no, that's great. Okay, just one more in the one off here. Outside of music, what hobbies do you enjoy?
For me, I don't play football as much as I used to, but I do enjoy playing football when I actually have the opportunity to. Basketball, I like basketball. I used to play for clubs when I was a kid, which I did pretty well in, playing for a national basketball team, and kind of played for the year above for a football club, which was a bad idea because, if you're playing with in a football club or any sort of sport and you're playing with kids that are older than you, they're not going to listen to you if you tell them off. And I was very much that goalkeeper. I was just like, trying to control the defense and stuff like that. And they would just kind of tell me to fuck off, because I was just this little kid. But I love to watch. I'm very picky with my movies. So I love Bram Stoker's Dracula. It's one of my favorite all-time movies. I love that movie because it's kind of like a dark romance, but a kind of a horror with dry humor in it. I love the Alien franchise. The Thing, great movie.
Oh, yeah.
I love watching music documentaries. I absolutely love that. One of my favorite ones is A Year and a Half in the Life of Metallica. I think that's one of the best back behind the scenes sort of footage you'll ever see when it comes to bands. I love watching live DVDs. I'm not particularly into me superheroes as such, but I love watching Batman movies, and I think the last Batman movie was absolutely incredible. When I heard that Robert Pattinson was going to be Batman, I was like, oh no. But my God, did he play a good Batman and a very dark Bruce Wayne. And he didn't say much.
No, it was
And I
good.
loved it. I loved it. It
Yeah, it
was
was done very
incredible.
well. I too was like, oh God, the Twilight guy is gonna play Batman. But then I saw The Lighthouse,
The Dark Knight. Well,
and I'm like, oh my God. So you got two. Willem Dafoe is just a phenomenal actor. I'm like, okay, it's just these two guys for 99% of the movie. And he carries his weight against Willem Dafoe, and it's just those two guys, and it's such a strong movie. I'm like, when I saw that, I'm like, okay, I got no more doubts about this guy. He's gonna kill it, and he was great. I thought the whole movie was really, really good.
Absolutely, why the hell hasn't Willem Dafoe been the Joker yet? I have no idea. That.
That would work. I mean, yeah, that would be great. I could see that.
I'm going to send you a picture that someone's photoshopped of Willem Dafoe as the Joker.
Okay.
My God. And the thing
Nice.
is, it's not just one of these people that would look good as the Joker. He's incredible as an actor,
Oh, he'd be
and
scary
he
as
is
fuck.
quite scary anyway,
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
yeah, yeah. Because he could get really
That's
intense and in
that
your
guy, yeah.
face and quiet.
Exactly.
The menace
Yeah,
is
he's
in
intense.
his words and yeah, I can see it. I can see it.
But that guy who actually did who wrote the Lighthouse, his first ever movie was The Witch, and that's one of my
Oh,
top five
that's
movies.
fucking great movie. Yeah.
Absolutely incredible.
Yes.
Because
Yeah.
you're drawn into the witch, but it's not just about the witch.
No.
It's about the family. It's about the relationship
Yeah.
between the family, the poverty in the family. There's so much going on, like you're kind of distracted from it, and then you're like, oh, okay,
And it's a
you
slow
know,
burn, and it gets more and more intense, and it's weird, and there's a tension to it that's uncomfortable and uneasy, you know. And the cinematography, it all works together. No, it's a beautiful film, and I just became such an Anya Taylor Joy fan, watching her performance there, and have enjoyed watching her career. But yeah, such a strong movie. Yeah, nice.
I mean, the other thing, I mean, the other hobby for me, I mean, God, I mean, I've already mentioned two outside of the, well, three, I guess. I actually like learning other instruments, so I'm kind of learning how to play piano or keyboard. I can play a bit of harmonica and a bit of guitar, so I think that's a really important thing when it comes to being a musician anyway, I don't like to be stuck in a box. I like to kind of spread my wings and fly,
Nice. That's
if
great.
you know what I mean? Just
Yeah, I do.
learn as much as I can,
Right.
absorb as much as I can.
Yeah, I took a piano class when I was in college, and I couldn't do it. I can't read two lines of music and have two things. As a drummer, it's funny because I can play different rhythms and things like that, but I couldn't read two lines of music and have one finger doing hand doing this. So that's why I'm a rhythm guitarist and not a lead. Like, you know, my fingers are not long. I'm the Paul Stanley. I'm not the Ace Frehley. No, I totally get that, you know. But
I love art as well in general, like art, going to art galleries and stuff like that, walking is a big thing of mine as well, I like walking and like venturing out and stuff, but art as a whole, I mean, life is art, isn't it, really,
yeah, right.
essentially.
Yeah,
So
that's great. Yeah. Okay, Mark, we've got a couple games we're gonna play. This first
okay.
game is called Blast Beats. And
Very
I,
nice.
yeah, it's a great name. I'm going to ask you a question. It's either like an either or short answer, and I just want you to give me your answer as quickly as possible. Thus, the name Blast Beats. Don't overthink. Okay. Favorite pizza topping?
Pepperoni.
Paperback or Kindle?
Paperback.
PC or Apple?
For Apple. I can't believe I just fucking said that.
Favorite streaming service?
YouTube.
Favorite cartoon character?
Ren, oh, just one.
One.
Ren. From
Okay.
Ren and Stimpy.
Yes. Stampy, you idiot. Favorite ice cream flavor?
Vanilla.
Dog or cat?
Dog.
Justice League or the Avengers?
Justice League.
Star Trek or Star Wars?
Star Wars.
Bigfoot or Loch Ness Monster?
Loch Ness Monster.
Dracula or Frankenstein?
Look at that.
How do you like your steak cooked?
Rare.
Favorite sport?
Football.
Your favorite movie snack?
Oh, sorry. Soccer.
No, football. I know what you're talking about. Yes, that's right. English football. Your favorite movie snack?
Popcorn, yes.
Favorite subject in school?
Music.
Your least favorite subject in school?
Math.
Your favorite board game?
Pluto.
Your Spielberg or Tarantino?
Spielberg.
Your favorite Christmas gift?
Drums.
The best concert you've ever attended?
Oh no, I can't say this quick. I can't. Okay, Motorhead, City Hall.
Nice. And last one, your favorite line or scene from This Is Spinal Tap?
One goes to 11.
Yeah, that's good. I'm excited for the new movie. I'm excited. Yes.
Same. Yeah.
Yeah. I
I
saw
look
them in
forward.
Cleveland, so that was awesome when they came to Cleveland. That was great. Okay, this
Oh,
next game is called The Hot Seat, and we call it that because it sometimes tends to make our guests squirm. Because they can't answer, or they feel like they should answer, but they don't, although they can't. I'm going to name a band, and I want you to tell me your favorite album by that band.
wow.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Black Sabbath.
Black Sabbath.
Judas Priest.
I'm going to go with the live one, unless the news.
Okay. Queensryche.
Operation Mindcrime.
Iced Earth.
I cannot comment.
It's fine. Motorhead.
Ace of Spades.
Carcass.
I can't choose.
Dio.
Holy Diver.
Metal Church,
Can't comment.
The Beatles,
Can't comment.
Rush,
Too many. Oh, man, what are you doing? No, I can't just choose one. Move on.
okay,
Ah.
Opeth.
Ghost Reveries.
King Diamond.
I can't just choose one for that either.
Iron Maiden.
Oh. I
Now
can't
you're
choose one.
experiencing
I
the hot
swear.
seat.
Yeah, it is.
Testament.
For me, it would be Formation of Damnation.
So,
It's an incredible
they're a band that just gets better with every album, you know? Like they're good. They've
album.
always been good, but like, okay, these guys are getting better and better. Like, how the hell are they doing that?
I love Paul Bostaph, and I think as much as I like him in Slayer, for me with Slayer, it's Dave Lombardo.
Yes.
Sorry, Paul. I love Paul's playing. But I just thought he was the perfect fit for
Yeah, he fits
Testament.
great
I really, really did.
with Testament. He really does.
100%.
Yeah. Okay.
Going back to Rush, okay, I'm gonna, can I choose two?
Sure.
So that I feel bad for not actually choosing a Rush album. I think that's like,
Okay.
you know, when it comes to drums, it's like, you know, Neil Peart, like a god.
Yes, yes.
But like 2112 or Moving Pictures, I would say.
Phenomenal.
It's kind
Great
of hard
choices.
to choose between the two.
Yeah, it was one of the albums that I played with to when I was first starting how to play drums, learning how to play drums. I kind of was self-taught, and so I would play the music, and then Moving Pictures was the album that I like played to, and like I want to play this verbatim, and I got most of it. So I was especially I loved playing Red Barchetta. I just really love that song. It's just such a good song. Yeah. Okay, just a few more in the hot seat here. Anthrax.
Okay, so for me, it would be okay. It would be it's not called the Dead. Hold on, I'm gonna have to search the title for it, and I'll tell you why, because their song "Fight Until You Can't" was the first Anthrax song that I like could not stop listening to.
Was that their off their first album?
No, it's quite a recent album.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. Worship Music?
Yes, that's the one.
Or
Yes,
yeah,
because
Vol. Yeah.
I was gonna say "The Devil You Know," but that's "Heaven and Hell."
Yes.
Yes, but that song. I used to wake myself up in the morning, go for a walk, and just loop that song round and round and round. I was completely blown away by that song. So I'm going to go with it. I wouldn't say it's the best Anthrax album. It's great.
It's a great album.
And I think that as a band, they've like done, you know, from especially from that album in particular, I would say that they kind of started progressing musically.
Yes.
To where they are now more than
Yeah.
they have
Those John
before,
Bush
you know, because
albums are
obviously,
phenomenal. They're really good because
yes,
they
100%.
stretch their sound. I love Stomp 442. I think it's one
Yes.
of their best albums, and it's so unlike Anthrax in a lot of ways, like between Stomp 442 and Cotton Amash, that album just you there's just such a night and day difference, but it's a band that just
Yes.
grows and changes, and I like all the incarnations
Yeah, I
of
mean, We've
Anthrax.
Come For You All as well is brilliant.
Yes.
You know, Worship Music was actually in 2011, but We've Come For You All is another. I mean, that's a banger of an album.
Yes, it
Absolutely
is. Excellent.
brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Okay, Megadeth.
Who sells, but who's buying?
Okay, and just three more on this. Slayer.
Season of the best.
And Kiss.
Concord. I mean, live it would be Kiss Alive, of course it would be. You know,
Yes.
that's the goal.
Nice. And the
But yes,
last one,
I go.
Venom Inc.
I would say Ave. It's kind of a weird one because I'm going to get myself in trouble here, but I mean, it's pretty obvious it's not real drums on that album. Okay? I mean, that's pretty obvious. But I think that album as a whole was really strong, and I think that was kind of like the birth of that band, of Venom Inc. And I think there's some really killer songs on there that will probably go down as classics when it comes to Venom Inc. that you kind of can't not play live. You
Yes.
know, like the song, I mean, well, I say the song Ave Satanas, which we haven't actually, myself, Curran, and Tony haven't actually played together live. We have sound checked it, but maybe we will play soon.
Ah, nice.
That song is just so catchy, simplistic, powerful. And then you've got Forged in Hell that I love, The Evil Dead, which is another movie I absolutely love, by the way.
Yeah,
N
such a good
not so much
franchise.
the mo not not so much the last one that re they released. I thought that was a bit
Evil Dead
meh.
Rise?
Yeah,
Yeah. The
I just
remake was okay. It was necess unnecessary. I mean, I like all the blood. I actually was really surprised by Evil Dead Rise. I wasn't expecting anything on it, but I was like, "Oh, okay, there's some scary moments here." It's not necessary, but it was better than I expected it to be. Like
It'll
I
never be the classics, man.
No,
Like,
that
ever.
first one is the best. Yeah, when we do, we do often do horror themed shows. I definitely want you back on a horror themed show if you got the time. I know you're gonna
Okay.
be touring, for the, most of this coming year, but
Let's
we'd
do
love
it.
to have you back when we talk horror. We'd love to have you back because it's you definitely are steeped in that horror. You love horror, and that's great. We've got one last game to play with you, Mark, here. I'm not using the royal we. I'm used to having Chop Top with me. This is called Name That Festival. Venom Inc. is
Okay.
playing a festival with two other artists. I'm going to spin the Wheel of Mystery to find these two other bands that I'd like for you to name that festival. So I'm going to pull it up here, and I'm going to share my screen. Let's see. How do I? There we go. Share screen. There. All right. So I'm going to spin here. So it's,
Ooh.
yeah. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Ah, okay, nice. Okay, so the first art is Venom Inc., and it looks like, oh, come on. Oh, Spinal Tap. Oh, that's fantastic. Nice. And one more. Yeah, it could be anybody on here. We've got everybody in the world. It looks like it might be Beyonce.
Oh no, man, why?
Why? All right, that's great. So now we have we got Beyonce, Spinal Tap, and Venom Inc. all playing the same festival. What are we going to call that festival?
Well, I mean, the tour is called Beyond the Black, right? So
You
we've
like to
got
say
to have Beyonce in there somewhere.
Beyonce, the Beyonce to the black? Beyond that, you mix the words
Beyond
there.
Spinal, Beyond Spinal Tapping.
Beyonce tapping. Nice. Oh, fantastic. Fantastic.
There you go.
Oh, nice. Nice. Well, we've only got a couple questions left. We're going to start winding things down. So, okay. This one's about fandom. We're all fans of other artists, as we've talked about. What is your favorite piece of memorabilia? Some kind of autograph thing or a shirt or something from a show you're at. Do you have a favorite piece of memorabilia?
Yes, I do. Going back to seeing Motorhead at the City Hall, Lemmy chucked a towel out, and this was my first experience of Motorhead. He chucked a towel out, and I caught it. Didn't know what to do with it. I was a kid and I just kind of stuck it up my jumper and I kept this towel in me cupboard in a carrier bag in me cupboard for years and it absolutely stank. So I thought, I can't just keep it in me cupboard. What am I going to do with it? So I eventually I washed it and I use it as a tour towel.
Nice. That's cool.
And it was lemon. So
Excellent.
that is the best memorabilia I've got.
Nice. And our final question that I'm gonna ask is, what one piece of advice would you give to someone who wants to become a metal drummer? Because you're a drum teacher, so you must field this question quite a lot.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I mean, for me, music is music, and I don't think you should always just strive towards one style. I think it's so important, especially if you want to have that original kind of style to your playing, to kind of venture out and discover different genres and different drummers. There's so many incredible musicians out there, whether they're drummers or guitarists or whatever. I think every musician is inspirational to other musicians. You know, that's how you learn. You don't just learn from the instrument, you learn from listening to different musicians and music as a whole. So I think that's to me is the most important thing, is to be open-minded musically. The other thing, which is the obvious thing, is practice. Don't let yourself get so frustrated, and don't ever think like you can't do it. Always push yourself to be able to do it, because there's a thing called muscle memory. And what muscle memory is your muscles get used to a certain movement. So if you actually get the correct movement to whatever you are trying to achieve, say if it's a drum exercise or anything like that that you're struggling with, if you play it right, that is part of you progressing. And the only way is up if you keep going. If you get to that point where it's like you go, right, I give up, then that's it. You're done. Never give up. Always move forward. Never look back.
Nice. Excellent. Excellent. And before we head out, could we ask you to do a bumper for us? This is Mark Jackson of Venom Inc., and you are watching Heavy Metal Horror, something like that?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Mark Jackson, drummer of Venom Inc., and you are watching and listening to Heavy Metal Horror.
Excellent. Thank you. Before we do our outro, I just want to thank you again for spending some time with us today. I'm so excited that Venom Inc. is going to be hitting the road again, and hope to see you back in Cleveland on a future leg later this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the European tour is coming up. I've been working really hard on the songs. There's a lot of new songs in the set list. When I say new songs, I mean songs that have never been played live. A lot more from the Venom Inc. albums, more so than ever. A lot more of the Demolition Man era of Venom.
Those are good
So I'm
albums.
really
So,
excited, and yeah, I mean, absolutely incredible. You know, I've said to the Demolition Man, we've got to play some of these songs, man. You can't not, you know. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, and it's always great to see Curran and the Demolition Man, and it's going to be great hitting the road with the rest of the bands on the bill as well, you know, and again going to different countries and. Yeah, seeing the world and seeing what's going on,
Not a
and
bad way to make a living.
another adventure, you know. So
Excellent.
happy times.
That's fantastic. Fantastic. All right. Well, hey, we're gonna wrap things up, and I'm gonna invite you to bring up the horns when we do our sign off. So you can find Heavy Metal
Absolutely.
Horror on unsaneradio.com. Listen to full episodes or download to your device. You can find us on Facebook, Heavy Metal Horror Podcast. On Instagram, look for Montag Lewis, one word. Our YouTube page, Heavy Metal Horror Podcast. If you're watching, that's where you're at. Don't forget to hit the like and subscribe button. And if you know someone who would like our show, tell them about us. This has been Montag, Master of Illusion, and Mark Jackson of Venom Inc. And you've been watching and listening to, all right, Mark, bring up the horns. Heavy Metal Horror.
This is Doug Helvering, and you have been listening to Heavy Metal Horror, the best podcast that you've never heard before.